Hamas says the group is nearing a truce agreement with Israel in negotiations being brokered by the U.S. and Qatar. BBC security correspondent Frank Gardner.
Sources indirectly involved in the negotiations are more optimistic than ever that several dozen hostages could soon be released in exchange, they say, for some limited pauses in the fighting over a period of 3 to 5 days, as well as an increase in humanitarian aid for Gaza, including fuel. It's not yet clear if Israel will be releasing any Palestinian prisoners or how many.
Police in Custer County, Colorado, southwest of Colorado Springs, say three people are dead and a fourth is in critical condition after a gunman opened fire near the town of Westcliff. Sheriff Rich Smith was asked about a possible motive.
The suspect and at least one of the victims have been in previous civil disputes about property lines and easements.
The search is on for the shooter. A big storm could disrupt travel from the southern plains all the way to the northeast, says the Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren.
The threat does include some strong, damaging tornadoes. Also, even during the overnight hours, it's possible there could be some large hail, possibly golf ball size hail. And then that whole system to the north moves through the northeast for the pre-Thanksgiving holiday travel period. It is going to be messy. Gusty winds, also some heavy rain.
The Santa Ana winds gusted over 50 miles an hour across Southern California yesterday, knocking down trees and power lines and injuring people at an amusement park, says CBS News Los Angeles reporter Michelle Gili.
The fierce wind caused a serious injury at Disneyland. Police say a light pole fell onto three guests on Main Street, not far from the park's front entrance around 8:30 a.m. Officers responded along with paramedics. One adult had to be taken to the hospital. Two others were treated at the scene.
There's major backlash from hundreds of employees of an artificial intelligence company after the board pushed out its leader. CBS News business and technology correspondent Joe Ling Kent has the story.
Nearly every employee of OpenAI, the maker of ChatGPT, has threatened to resign over the firing of CEO Sam Altman, who was ousted by the board last Friday and quickly hired by Microsoft. Now more than 700 employees say they're ready to follow him there.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has ordered Toyota Motor Credit to pay $60 million in refunds and fines for what the agency calls illegal lending and credit reporting misconduct. The agency says the company withheld refunds and knowingly tarnished credit reports with false data. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The athletic director at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville has died. The university did not provide details Monday, only that Christina Navarro Krupka was pregnant and her death was unexpected. Navarro Krupka grew up in Madison and was in her fourth year as director of athletics and assistant chancellor at Platteville. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps on Tuesday. Luke Berg is with the Conservative Institute for Law and Liberty. He says there's an easy fix to claims that non-contiguous districts are unconstitutional.
If you were simply to take the islands and put them in the districts that surround them, it would eliminate the contiguity problem and you wouldn't have any population problems in the existing map.
Berg was on Upfront on WISN-TV. The map's challengers will argue that the way the maps were drawn was unconstitutional. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers prepare for the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers back at practice after the win over the Chargers. But from the training room, 16 players listed on the Packers injury report, 6 unable to practice. Banged up maybe, but not quitters, says wide receiver Christian Watson.
I mean, I think that we just showed it again, but what we already knew. We knew that, you know, we were fighters and we were going to keep on battling to the last second. I think Jay Love said that at the end, you know, we'd been on the wrong end of, you know, that battle, you know, a little too much this year. And it was just exciting that we came out on the right end this time and kept on fighting all the way to the end.
It's the Packers and the Lions Thursday morning at 11:30. NBA, the Bucks dominate the Wizards 142-129. Giannis with 42 points. Chris Middleton, still recovering from that knee surgery, had 18 points, surpassing Michael Redd. And now, Sidney Moncrief for the fourth highest career score in team history.
You know, shout out to Michael Redd, shout out to Sidney Moncrief. To come out here and pass those legends, it means a lot.
That's the Bucks' Chris Middleton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy today with highs around 44. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, 24. High of 43 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel, Michael Charles.
Where Chicago are the Blues rapids in Wisconsin Rapids? A stretch of water through the city was once called Two-Sided Rapids as it split around a huge boulder. But in this particular area, the boulder and rapids were lost due to dams being built with the goal of capturing the river's power in the early 20th century. For locally grown radio, WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
The Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albo, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Zommers, over on the board. It is Monday, November 20th. Why do I keep saying 12th? I don't know. 20th, 2023. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. Coming up later on at 1:20. In about, less than 20 minutes away. 1:20. Our friend and ongoing contributor, John Roach, great Madison legend in terms of an author, a writer, a reporter, just all-around great guy. He'll be joining us at 1:20 and talking about life, talking about Thanksgiving. It is Axe Week in terms of Badger football, talking about the Badgers getting back on track. And what else? You know, I mean, John, you could talk to John Roach about anything, and it's interesting. So grab your cup of cider or whatever your beverage of choice and join us at 20 minutes past the hour for a great conversation with John Roach. Right now, I want to get to this story, news of the odd and the weird. Weird and wacky, as Johnny Carson once said. I did not know that. So the Iowa caucuses are coming up in January, end of January, and Donald Trump leading the pack on the Republican side. And he says a lot of goofy things, right, on the campaign trail. And for those that might not remember, back in 2016, people like Stephen Colbert on Late Night, where they made a big deal. Colbert actually did a show from Russia at a hotel where Trump allegedly at one time was involved in an orgy in which one of the participants peed on him. And that is known for, there are people, believe it or not, who apparently are into this. They get their jollies off of it. It's called a golden shower for obvious reasons. And allegedly there are pee tapes of this occurring that Vladimir Putin has. And some people claim that's one of the things that Putin has on Trump. Why he has so much control. I'm not making this up, by the way. This is real.
If I am in charge of one of the largest countries in the world, I am not letting my decisions be influenced over somebody having a video of me getting peed on. Like, I'll just get over it.
I'm just reporting.
I know. I'm just reporting. Still,
I believe
it was Donald Trump because he's so right. Self-centered.
And so this has kind of like died away, right? You don't hear much about this anymore. This is something brought up in 2016, kind of in 2020, but we don't hear much about it anymore. And so this is what made it so interesting. Over the weekend, Donald Trump is down in Iowa campaigning for president and talking about having, over the course of his life, having to have difficult conversations with his wife, Melania, about things that he allegedly did. And this is what Trump chooses to talk about in 2023 in Iowa.
He was with four hookers. You think that was good that night to go up and tell my wife, it's not true, darling, I love you very much. It's not true. Actually, that one she didn't believe because she said he's a germaphobe. He's not into that, you know? He's not into golden showers, as they say they call it. He's not. I don't like that idea. No, I didn't. I thought that would be a big problem. I was going to have a rough night, but that one she was very good on. She said, no.
So he thought he was going to have a big problem telling his wife that, you know, there's evidence out there of me taking getting a golden shower. But no, that was fine. She was fine with that because she didn't believe him because it's such a germaphobe. Like, I don't know whether it's right or wrong or true or untrue. I don't know. I just find it odd that, again, somebody running for president of the United States, the leading candidate of one of the major parties, Republican, chooses to bring up a story that had kind of died away.
It
seems like thou dost protest too much to me.
Yes, it is very much like you get pulled over and it's like, good evening, officer. I do not have 30 pounds of marijuana in my trunk.
So this leads us to today's edition of What's Worse? Mr. Zomers, if you please.
This or that. The choice is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with
time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, no prizes whatsoever, just your chance to call in and voice your opinion on a question across the state and around the world. Today's What's Worse is, what's worse, that Donald Trump is campaigning about golden showers in Iowa, or that the McRib sandwich is back at McDonald's? Give us a call.
Will we have some McRib haters, either you or Chris Pauls?
Out of 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. What's worse, that Donald Trump is campaigning about golden showers in Iowa, or that the McRib sandwich is back at McDonald's? And don't forget, I mean, I was a big fan when the McRib first came out. I always had it no onions because I don't like raw onions on like that kind of stuff. But I think I tried it once where they brought it back before. I'm like, ugh, I don't know why I love that so much at the time. I think I like the barbecue sauce more than the actual McRib.
I've never had a McRib.
Well, now your chance. What's worse, that Donald Trump is campaigning about golden showers in Iowa, or that the McRib is back at McDonald's? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Jay, across the pond in London. Jay, what say you?
You need a big hug. It's not November 12, okay?
All right. Well, I can always use a hug, Jay. Absolutely.
So, I asked Aaron to give you a big hug on my behalf.
All right, well, I appreciate that. So yeah, what do you think is worse, that Donald Trump is campaigning in Iowa about golden showers, or that the McRib sandwich is back at McDonald's? First of all, do you have the McRib over there in the UK at the McDonald's over there?
I tell you what, I'm not a fan of McDonald's. Your sister is not a fan of, like, going to fast food. I cook. That's why I said, anytime I come to the United States, whatever state I am, I'm going to be cooking. And I say, Aaron, get on a plane. Come take the food to the studio. Quick. All right?
We appreciate that. We appreciate that. Well, I, you know, I've gone through phases in my life. I'm a big Culver's person these days. We have Culver's over here, fresh, never frozen. It's fantastic. There are two things I get a hankering for McDonald's. About once or twice a year, a fillet of fish, and usually an hour later, I ask myself, why did I do that? But the bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit in the morning at McDonald's, that's pretty good. But McRib, so-so.
The other day I had, Aaron was saying, oh, I didn't eat. I feel so bad. I say, oh, my goodness, my son is not eating. How do I feed the food to him? My pastel is...
Well, very good. Very good. Well, I know.
I think we...
Go ahead.
No, I think golden sour is the worst because, you know what? I always say Christopher Steele is right. I know Christopher Steele. This guy is the real deal. He worked for MI6.
Really?
And whatever he said about the Soviet Union, he knows what he's saying. But the Republican Party, they walk the left and they dismiss the guy.
All right.
Pay attention.
Very good. Okay. So we have a vote for Donald Trump campaigning about golden showers worse than the McRib back at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jay. We appreciate you. Have a great day over there or a great night in the UK. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Today's edition of What's Worse? That Donald Trump is campaigning about golden showers in Iowa, or that the McRib sandwich is back at McDonald's. Let's go to the phone lines. Ron in Milwaukee. Ron, what's worse?
Well, I might surprise some people, but I'd say the McRib is worse.
And why?
And, I'm like you. I had one. Well, I had one just like you, and I had the same reaction. But that's pretty bad, right?
Right, yeah.
But, no, there's two reasons why Donald Trump talking about golden showers on this is not worse than a McRib. And one is, he said the part aloud that he wasn't supposed to say. That's good for our side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let him go ahead and talk about it. He is apparently worried about it coming back up again. I mean, he makes a pretty good stand-up comic on these, you know, but it's not a serious person kind of a vote, you know.
Right.
But the other part of it is, if he doesn't know this, it's urine, forgive the use of the term, is not really full of bacteria. It's fairly antiseptic. The
right.
problem is it's acidic. Mm-hmm. It's not good to drink because it'll cause you an upset stomach. And if it's somebody else's, of course, well, it could be that you got in the way of some of that, and maybe they're not feeling well or something like that.
Sure.
You know, and there are other things happening.
Well, the point is,
itself is not
right.
You can drink that stuff if you're on a raft in the ocean and you need to, and you don't have any clean drink that stuff for a little while. It wouldn't hurt you at all.
Well, I think the point is that, the point is let's just not drink any of it. So you're saying that the McRib is worse than campaigning on golden showers.
And here's the deal. You can wash the McRib down with...
All right. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate the call. That's all right. I appreciate the call, Ron. I do think he's right. I do think he's right on Trump bringing this up all the time. You know, I mean, he's obviously worried about it, right?
Yeah, similarly, Andrew from Verona has texted in, and he said, not here to kink shame anyone, but... when the GOP calls itself the party of family values, it's laughable that they blindly follow the guy with the PP tapes.
Right, exactly. Not here. My favorite part of that tweet, by the way, is the first line. Not here to kink shame anyone. I guess, right? I mean, each to their own, I guess.
Andrew also said, we all know Todd goes to Quick Trip for the barbecue pork rib sandwich, far superior to the McRib.
Is it? I've never had a...
I have.
Never,
it's not bad.
I've never had a barbecue pork rib sandwich at Quick Trip.
Yeah, it's not bad.
See, here's my thing. I'm not big on, how should I say, pre-prepared food that sits for a long time. I'm just not big on that.
Me either.
And the thing is, and here's why, because I'll take a chance. Occasionally, I'll gas up, usually not a quick, I mean, I do go to Quick Trip, but I mean, it might be like a mobile occasionally. And I'm really hungry, and I see like a bacon, egg, and whatever sandwich sitting there in their hot sandwich window. And so I'll give it a try, pre-prepared. And ultimately, it just isn't the same as something that's prepared right away. So anyway, appreciate everybody calling in on What's Worse. We'll have a new What's Worse for you tomorrow. Stay tuned now. We have John Roach coming up straight away. Conversations about the Axe Week at UW and anything else. Thanksgiving and whatever else is on John Roach's mind. Stay tuned to the Todd Oboll Show and Civic Media.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows, like Friends, for starting this trend by featuring a day meant to celebrate with those who aren't your relatives. And when to gather is up to you. Many celebrate just before Thanksgiving, while others wait until after the official holiday. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowl Show, 20 now past the hour. Welcome in here. We have our monthly conversation with our friend and ongoing contributor, John Roach. He is a great author, worked for Madison Magazine for several years, still appears in several columns here and there, works on screenplays. In fact, John, I was, my dad recently had a bit, he was a teacher for like, 40 years. And he had a bunch of DVDs that he played for his kids, and he was going to give a bunch of them away. And I said, well, let me go through those. And so I was going through, and one of the DVDs that he had, which I did not have it on DVD, I've talked about it before, was the screenplay that you co-wrote, The Straight Story.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's The Straight Story's had a little rebirth with the Disney Channel because the domestic distribution rights belong to the Disney company, obviously... Yeah, when the film premiered at the Cannes Film Festival, which was a wonderful thing to be a part of, the opening credit came up and it said Walt Disney presents a David Lynch film, and the whole crowd started laughing. Understandably, it was a unique pairing, and now with the Disney Channel becoming, pretty much everywhere because of. Primarily because of kids. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the theatrical offerings, the non-animated offerings they have on the Disney Channel. And it still gets great reviews, a small film, but one that, I can't help but be proud of.
You should be very, very proud of it. It's still to date one of my all-time favorite films, not just because of the writing, which is fantastic, which what you were a part of, but just the way that the film allows the story to be told. It's like slow food or a pour over coffee. It's not rushed. It's not hurried. It's organic and it's beautifully laid out and just allows itself to happen. And that's really the key to the whole film, I think.
Yeah, my old friend Doug Moe once called it defiantly slow.
That's good.
And it's just such a wonderful counterpoint to... it's a total change of pace from a lot of the films that are out there now, rapid fire and CGI and all that sort of stuff, which there's certainly a place for that. But,
there is.
David kind of made European style films pretty much. So, yeah. And did them very well. And still does.
By the way, you don't know this, but those listening to our Black Friday show this Friday are going to hear this segment again because we're going to replay this. Even before I knew what it was going to be, I said, well, anything John Roach is going to be good enough we could replay. So some people are hearing this on Friday. So just to let people know, we were reporting that over the weekend Donald Trump was campaigning or disputing this whole thing that he had gotten a golden shower by some hookers over in Iowa. And you came in over the break and you said, I never followed a segment about golden showers before, but you said you think it's true.
You know what they say, never follow chimpanzees is an old show business adage. But yeah, I've never followed a urine act before.
But you think, you agree, it there's a lot of validity to it, that it actually happened.
Well, look, the story is that as a courtesy to Trump, the people doing competitor research, which they'd hired, a respected British intelligence officer to do, came upon this rumor about Trump in Moscow that was in the pipeline. And as a courtesy to Trump, they gave it to him. right? Mm. Should he become president, that's good to know what compromise they might have on you. True or not, right?
Right.
In this era of false news and AI-generated content, you know, the leader of the free world should know what the opposition has on him. But somehow Trump took umbrage with it and made it public. It was not made public by the Clinton campaign. And so, and there's a little bit of thou doth protest too much with it.
Right.
And if you consider the fact that Donald Trump, you know, thrice married and all sorts of lurid charges made to him by all sorts against him by all sorts of women. And he was doing a beauty pageant in Moscow, surrounded by pretty women. God only knows what transpired, given his character, honestly, his character. And so it wouldn't surprise me if Putin had compromise on him. I mean, not at all. And certainly in light of the fact of how he was so deferential to Putin during his administration, including taking a private meeting with Putin when he visited the U.S. with no one in the room. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not a Trump fan. So.
Neither am I. How about McRibs? They ever had a McRib sandwich?
Not a McRib guy. I do agree with you on the breakfast egg McMuffin,
right?
Sausage McMuffin.
Yeah, that's hard
to beat. A great, great a filling breakfast, and I am partial to the occasional order of McDonald's French fries.
Yeah, I know.
You just
right.
You know, I'm old enough to remember when McDonald's first broke upon the scene with a big Catholic family, Irish Catholic family, going down to Park Street in Madison. The first one was on Park Street. It was Kelly's, and then became McDonald's. And you'd get a pickle with your hamburger, which was viewed as novel. But the whole idea of just getting a bag of burgers and throwing them at your kids in the car was unheard of. They didn't even serve you car side like A&W did, not hang the tray on the window, which that was already being done. But just to have pre-wrapped burgers with no plates, no utensils, and you just eat it out of the wrapper and the fries and the burger. For a young couple with a lot of kids, it was a great way to feed a lot of young, hungry mouths. And obviously, it was a business concept that has stood the test of time.
done very, very well. And like I said, when it comes to actual burgers, I just, for me, it's just hard to beat a Culver's butter burger. On the fresh frozen, the fresh never frozen.
Yeah, you know, I like Culver's, but I'll tell you, there's an above premium craft burger out there called Mooya Burgers. Have you heard of them?
All right.
They're pretty good. Mooya Burgers. There are two or three franchises in Madison. That is a great cheeseburger. Oh,
really?
My. And good fries.
All right.
It's pricey, but boy, is it good. It's right up there with Five Guys and In-N-Out, where they're, you know, kind of these, you know, like they're craft beers. Now they're craft burger joints.
Right.
But Mooya Burger is really good. But Culver's, you know, I remember my wife and I were escaping the winter weather and we were in Florida, and out of nowhere, my wife spied Culver's down in Florida, and she screamed in the car like I thought we had hit a small animal or something. And she just screamed, "There's a Culver's, pull over." And so it was a little taste of home down in Florida. But I guess they're throwing a lot of them up there down in Florida now. You know, Craig Culver, kind of a genius.
A real genius. And the thing is, I've had the occasion to, I don't want to say he's, you know, I don't know him, a close friend, but through my association with politics and stuff, I kind of got to know him and was around him a little bit. And just one of the chillest, most humble guys. And really, the thing I love about Craig Culver, I think he still does it. He goes to one of his franchisees. It used to be once a week. Now it might be once a month. And actually works, like on the grill or busing or whatever. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. No, it's a... you know, there are a lot of these entrepreneurial stories around Madison, you know, between Judith Faulkner, Greg Linton at Promega, Craig Culver, you know, the Bakke family with Sub-Zero refrigerators on the southwest side of town. Remarkable American manufacturing story. You know, Madison has a lot of these stories, and they're, you know, pretty remarkable.
They're super remarkable, and I think during we'll come back and talk about this on the other side during this Thanksgiving week. A lot to be thankful for. We'll ask John Roach of some Thanksgiving traditions of his family, and what he thinks of the holiday now. That is also Axe Week for Wisconsin Badgers. They got a win, John. They're back on the winning streak, as he looks a bit surprised. Back with more with Mr. John Roach on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
CBS News Brief. There's a possibility some of the hostages being held by Hamas could be released soon. The BBC's Frank Gartner.
This is not the first time we've been told a deal is close at hand to release a sizable number of hostages held in Gaza. Not surprisingly, their relatives are holding their breath after previous disappointments.
Police in Custer County, Colorado, say three people have died after a man opened fire near the town of Westcliff. Sheriff Rich Smith says police are looking for the shooter.
We've already been contacted by some of the people who are most likely the victims' families, and I really want to say to them I'm very sorry that this happened.
Rain could affect car and air travel this week from the southern plains all the way to the northeast, says the Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren.
Most of the worst of the weather happening late Tuesday into early Wednesday morning. By midday Wednesday, things will be improving dramatically. Any snow expected to be in the highest of elevations.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Keep up on the day's news talk and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is vetoing a Republican proposal to cut state income taxes by $2 billion and to expand a tax credits parents use to pay for childcare. The GOP bill was put forward after Republicans rejected Evers' proposed $1 billion boost to workforce programs and childcare. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps on Tuesday. Jeff Mandel of the liberal group Law Forward says the current Republican maps are unconstitutional because they're not contiguous.
They're not all made up of one uninterrupted chunk of land, and that is in conflict with the words of the Constitution, which requires the districts to be contiguous.
Mandel was on Upfront on WISN-TV. Lawyers for the map supporters are expected to argue that contiguous has different meanings. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy today with highs around 44. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, 24. High of 43 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? WIS Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online. plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you asking the court to do something that spells out a school funding formula?
This is not about the school finance formula itself. It's about the voucher programs. It says to create a system of public schools. It doesn't say anything about creating two parallel systems and sucking the money out of the public school system and providing it to the private school system, which is what is happening.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Guys who's done everything, kind of seen everything, and you can get, I hope people are sitting with their hot cup of cider on this Thanksgiving weekend or whatever other beverage that they enjoy, because you're, John, one of these people that I just love to listen to. And you tell it, absolutely, you write fantastically, you tell great stories. We were talking over the break that over this past weekend, former First Lady Rosalynn Carter passed away at the age of 96. And to me, and I talked about this on As Goes Wisconsin with Jay and Greg filling in for Kristen Bry, to me, she epitomized the definition of a helper, that she was a humanitarian and a helper. I didn't know until we were just talking during the break, you had the opportunity to talk with and interview the former First Lady, Rosalynn Carter. What are your thoughts?
I thought she was an impressive woman. I thought she was a serious woman, a woman of substance. She wasn't frivolous. There was in the prep, they said, they called her the Iron Magnolia, that she was very much a partner with Jimmy in his decision making. But she handled herself with great dignity, as much as you can learn with someone with a half an hour and an interview,
sure.
But handled herself with great dignity, measured her responses, and was a serious person.
What was the occasion
that was an overwhelming reaction?
Was it a political piece or a feature piece? Do you remember what it was?
I don't know what she was touring for. This was back in my Chicago days. There was a flurry of interviews that I produced and did with Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., Teddy Kennedy. But I think this was after it. It might have been one of her initiatives as First Lady, and it might have been a book after. I think it was probably for a book, actually, now that I think back on it.
Well, you brought up she was one of the first people to really be visible with her husband, since they only had male presidents so far. Well, one of the first ladies to sit in cabinet meetings, to really be an advisor to the president. I think maybe at the time that rubbed some people the wrong way. She was also a great advocate for talking openly about mental health and advocating for that after her stint as first lady.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, she was an honorable woman, as Jimmy was an honorable man. I don't know that Jimmy was one of our greatest presidents. I think he was a stranger to Washington and never quite got his footing there. But, you could argue he's the greatest ex-president we've ever had. He illustrates or exhibits the kind of behavior you expect from a former president in the United States of America, a real honorable guy too. I don't know that he had the right staff. I read a great book by Haynes Johnson, who was a Wisconsin grad, who was a longtime writer for the Washington Post. It was called In the Absence of Power. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy's staff didn't know how to work Congress very well in the outset. And they had Tip O'Neill as Speaker of the House, and they didn't work very closely with him on some of those initiatives. That was a mistake, I think. But that's a very long time ago. But yeah, Rosalind had great dignity is the first thing that springs to mind.
And all their work with the former president's still with us. He's now, I believe, 98 or 99. But Rosalind passed away at 96. I mean, all the great work they did with Habitat for Humanity. Sure. And our friend and colleague Earl Ingram on his morning show pointed out that isn't the irony of the current iteration of the MAGA Republican Party trying to literally wrap itself within Christianity. Right or wrong, John, or agree, disagree, we might not have ever had a great example of a true Christian in the White House as Jimmy Carter and Rosalind Carter.
There's no question. I was thinking the same thing. He is what I think Jesus Christ had in mind for his followers. Right. I'm not sure the MAGA people are at all. I think they're just the opposite, actually. And they use they shroud themselves in Christianity and do things that are hideous and don't resemble it. And I'm speaking as someone who had 12 years of religious education.
Speaking of things that were hideous, I want to get your thoughts on, we talked about this at the top of the show, but I'd just like to get your thoughts as a UW grad, as a Madisonian, that over the weekend we had 15, 20 Yahoos, schmucks, neo-Nazis marching here in Madison. And by all accounts, they were not local. They got a U-Haul truck in darkness afterwards and drove away. But to me, it's just repugnant. It's disgusting. When you saw this over the weekend, John, what were your thoughts?
I was appalled. I didn't know about it. And I'll tell you, I wish I had known about it and could have gone down because they wore the pictures that I saw, they wore ski masks.
All
right?
But two. Yep.
And I wanted to follow them and, roll tape on them when they peeled those masks off.
Yep.
And to out them. Now, they're within their rights to have that march. I think it's good that we are able to identify them and then subject them to the derision that they deserve. But whenever I see these dopes, I'm reminded of the Blues Brothers where, the Nazis marched in Skokie and it's like there's a famous line that says, I hate Illinois Nazis. Right. I mean, they're a caricature of themselves. They're sad, incel, ignorant white guys. Mm. And they're pathetic creatures, but they're also dangerous creatures.
Yeah.
And the fact that Trump has gotten a footing in our democracy with the kind of rhetoric that these guys trot out is appalling to me. I was more inclined to take them lightly 10 years ago than I am now in light of what has happened to America with Donald Trump.
Well, speak to that if you could. Again, we're talking with John Roach, a longtime, lifelong Madisonian, author and screenwriter, all around just great guy and an observer of life, John Roach. John, talk to us, our audience, a little bit about your time going to campus here at UW-Madison, protests and that sort of thing, versus what's going on now. It seems to me if I was certainly a person of the Jewish faith, a student on campus here, other places, but even someone of the Islamic faith, the anti-Semitism, the Islamophobia, the amount of hate that is just, it seems to me it's gotten worse, John. Or as someone who's lived a few more years than me, is it just relevant?
No, I think there are two things at work. First of all, I think Donald Trump gave mainstream legitimacy to playing the hate card. And mm-hmm. Then the second reason is that social media has given everyone a platform and made what used to be embarrassing behavior commonplace. I grew up in the era of the John Birch Society radical right stuff, certainly the Klan, certainly the civil rights movement of the 60s, garnered a reactionary, reactionary activities from the far right, the Klansmen, in Wisconsin grad was killed, during the civil rights marches. There was a movie about it that, what was it called? Darn it. Escapes me now, but
yeah.
So it's there, right? But there it to me, it's a function of who's allowed to fan the flames, to blow on the embers. And that's what Trump has done. It's always been there, will always be there. But Donald Trump gave it legitimacy. He gave cruelty legitimacy. Mm. And then social media acts like, is a bullhorn for him.
Yeah.
And there are no rules in social media. And so people are allowed to say the most awful things. And now we have Elon Musk, who seems to have lost his ever-loving mind, espousing marginal things that no self-respecting business person should. In the name of free speech, which he's mistaken, speech isn't free and it's not absolute. You have to exercise responsibility when you speak, and he hasn't. So I feel like he's envies Trump for some reason. It's a weird thing. But I do think right now it's worse because of Trump and because of social media. And I like social media.
Right.
But unregulated social media brings out a lot of weird people, a lot of hateful, uninformed, ignorant people.
And we talked about this story briefly earlier about Elon Musk and DeSantis on Jake Tapper's show refused to repudiate it or call it out. But good on all these companies. Well,
DeSantis, can I say, DeSantis is trying to make a living punching down.
Right.
He picks the most vulnerable people in our society and he makes them a punching bag, which he picked that strategy up from Trump. Immigrants are powerless and he punches down on them. Trans people, which is an incredibly small percentage of our population, and somehow he wants to punch down there. Mm-hmm. He is picking up Trump's gauntlet of fear and anger as a campaign strategy instead of talking about solutions and hope. I'm embarrassed for DeSantis, and I do think he wears lifts in his shoes, and he's one of the most socially uncomfortable political candidates I have ever seen.
Right?
He has a hard time mustering a smile. I mean, what is that?
But you,
I find to your point, I think Nikki Haley is the only legitimate, between Trump, Haley and DeSantis. Mm-hmm. Haley's the only person who seems remotely sane to me. And I don't agree with her on her, platform or anything, mm-hmm. but she actually seems like a sane human being.
Talk to me about, because you mentioned all these past former presidents that you've interviewed and been involved, interviewed a lot of political figures over your life and career. What do you make of the current iteration of the MAGA party going back and trying to, over the weekend, relitigate January 6th and trying to say it was the feds doing this? They keep trying to bring back the past. All these people you mentioned, whether it was Kennedy or either Bush or Reagan, they were always talking about the future or more about what they offered people in the future. Why are fewer politicians talking about, particularly on the MAGA Republican side, less about what they offer in the future and trying to relitigate the past?
Well, they have to. I mean, they're going through a crisis of identity. They have nothing to offer a new generation of Americans. They have nothing to say to people who live on the margins of our society. So they choose to demonize them. The problem with the Republican Party is that, they made noise about a big tent and then they abandoned that strategy. Mm-hmm. But they have no future unless they adopt a strategy similar to that. And so what I mean, personally, as someone who studied history at the university, I think this is a party in its death throes because the demographics don't bode well for them. No. And in the midst of it all, here comes the reversal of Roe v. Wade. Mm. Independent of the issue itself, it from a political standpoint, it's be careful what you wish for. Because I think that reversal and the Donald Trump's stacking of the deck in the Supreme Court, that is going to walk into every polling booth with every woman in America come next fall. And it was just like my wife said. She said, I think Donald Trump's going to do better than people think against Hillary. They just don't want to admit they're going to vote for him. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Roe v. Wade reversal is going to have the same effect. Even Republican women who ostensibly support Trump or support stuff that's right of center, mm-hmm. when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them because they know someone or they themselves have had to look at that decision for themselves as women. And that cuts to the very essence of what a person, what a woman is, and what she can be, and what she can decide. And I think that is, frankly, to speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reverse of Roe v. Wade is the right Bauer for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is, I know, that is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again. I think that's perfect analogy. We're using that in the promo. Mark that down, Mr. Zalmers. We're going to come back, talk Thanksgiving, and talk Axe Week. Can the Flexters beat the Flicksters, or Flick and Fleck? We'll talk about it after this. Stay tuned to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand come from? Is this tree good for climbing? What happens if I mix these two things together? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Storing your guns securely is the best way to prevent family fire, including unintentional shootings. For more information on safe gun storage and ways to keep your family safe, visit endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org.
What do we keep in the attic? What's this thing called? Can I ride my bike backwards?
Like I said, kids are curious. It's up to us to keep them safe. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up at the top of the hour, Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, our friend and colleague. He will be in taking you to the front lines of history. He reminds us, history being made every minute of every day. Matt Flynn will take us to the front lines with Matt Flynn Direct coming up after the news at the top of the hour. Right now, John Roach, Madison author, screenwriter, all-around great guy, Renaissance man, joins us once a month. We appreciate it so much, John. Let's get into it. It is Axe Week. Your Wisconsin Badgers found a way to win and beat Nebraska. I did not know this. I forget. It might have been Patricus. One of the sports writers pointed out the last time Nebraska Cornhuskers beat the Badgers at Camp Randall, the winning score was scored by Barry Alvarez. I did not know that.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
How about that?
Can I tell you, when Nebraska joined the Big Ten, I was at that first game when they played in Madison, and I just thought, these people are in for a rude awakening. But I was happy they joined the Big Ten, because after walking around, I realized that Wisconsin people were no longer going to be the fattest people in red in the Big Ten. And I took comfort in that, because they like, you know, they're pretty corn fed out in Nebraska.
They are.
It was a great win for Luke Fickell. Tanner Mordecai put the Badgers on his back.
Yep.
They outscored the Cornhuskers 24-3 in quarters 2, 3, 4 in OT, to their credit. Luke Fickell has a lot of work to do in the offseason. He has a reputation of being a good recruiter. That prowess will be put to the test. I'm not convinced. I don't think the Badgers have an offensive identity yet. Mm-hmm. I don't even know that Phil Longo knows what their identity is yet. I think that they need more wide receivers. Clearly, we lose Tanner Mordecai. That's a big deal with the offense Fickell wants to run. And we also need to get a pass rush. But I do think we're in the hunt. I don't know if we're favored against Minnesota, but I imagine we might be.
I haven't seen the line, but I think maybe.
I do think that second to Michigan versus Ohio State, Wisconsin versus Minnesota is the best rivalry in Big Ten football. The Axe is an icon that is known beyond the region. And I think the Badgers, if Mordecai stays healthy, they have a better than – I think actually losing Pauling is the biggest thing. Is their most dependable receiver. He's a receiver who could actually be drafted. And he came up lame on an ankle, and if he doesn't play, that's a big deal. I love beating PJ Fleck. I just love beating him but I also think PJ Fleck is the future. That is what head coaches are going to be. They're going to be marketers. They're going to be, drum beaters. You know, Paul Christ, who was a family friend, he was more of a good old fashioned football coach. Fickle is more of the CEO type. And that is the nature of the beast, given all the money that is on the table now.
Right.
You're going to see more guys like Fleck than Paul, I dare say. But it just tickles me no end to see the Badgers beat the Gophers. I will also say that my daughter, who's a Badger grad, has a friend who made a replica of the axe, and they bring it to every Badger Wisconsin game. And I do have a picture of myself with the axe that I fly every weekend when the Badgers play the Gophers. I grew up within 5 blocks of Camp Randall. So
that's great. My favorite, most recent, our next door neighbor back Richland Center, Brady Ewing, 3-time Big Ten champion, captain of the team his senior year, along with Russell Wilson and Aaron Henry. There's a great photo after they won the axe. It was either 10 or 11 of Brady holding the axe and number 34 running around Camp Randall. So I always post that.
Brady threw the block that sprung the Wisconsin kick returner in the opening kickoff against Ohio State.
Yeah. Right,
most famous block in Wisconsin history.
I will tell him.
I believe
he'll get a big kick out of that.
I think it was Brady.
I'm pretty sure you're right, but Brady is humble and honest enough. He'll tell me if it wasn't. So we'll report back next month to you. But I think you're sure. Absolutely right. The axe, and you can hear that here on Civic Media Radio Network on Richland Center, WRCE, also Racine, Kenosha, Amory, and Wisconsin Rapids. We've got Matt LaPay and Mark Tellinger on the call. Mike Keller with the post game show always does a great job. You can hear that, or you can
Matt and Mark are the best, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can also stream that on the Civic Media app, the Big Axe game this Saturday. We'll check. It's either a 2:30 or a 6 game. I'm not sure, but we will check on that. Very quickly, a couple of minutes left, John. It is Thanksgiving week. Any reflections or thoughts, traditions in your family when it comes to Thanksgiving?
Well, we just had the second grandchild in our family.
Yes, congratulations, Calvin. By the way.
And both my daughter and Calvin and Calvin's sister Rose and my daughter Maggie's husband Brian are doing great, as is the rest of the family who is helping take care of them. So you always are grateful when everyone's healthy after an event like that. The older I get, the less I take it for granted.
Right.
On Thanksgiving, I'm always grateful for the big families that both my wife and I belong to, because specifically because my wife's sisters make a massive assortment of pies.
Oh my God. That's great.
I don't bother with the turkey or the stuffing or the gravy, although I'm partial to mashed potatoes being of Irish descent. But boy, they lay out like 5 pies, and I just cut to the pies. Apple pie, pumpkin pie, and I like fake have an entree just so I can get right to the pies. And that's what I'm really grateful. And there's another thing I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
This Thanksgiving, the Packers play the Lions in the morning, and that throws back to my youth when the Lions had Yale Larry and Night Train Lane and all these old names, and obviously the Packers had all the Lombardi Packers.
For people,
but that was true Americana when the Lions played the Packers on Thanksgiving Day, and no one else played that game.
Right. Well, people hearing this on Friday will know the results, but our friend and colleague Earl Ingram has bet dyeing his gray hair black if the Packers win, and Gilbert Brown is going to give an autographed shirt, I think, to Earl.
The Lions are ascendant, and I'm happy for them because no one has suffered longer than Lions fans.
Right.
And the city of Detroit deserves a winner.
But go Pack Go, and also on Wisconsin, and get that axe from the Flexters up there in Minnesota this weekend. John Roach, you are a blessing to us each and every month.
Thanks, Todd.
We appreciate you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Have a happy Thanksgiving to you, too, and you too, Aaron. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks so much. Stay tuned. Our friend Matt Flynn is next. Don't go anywhere. Until tomorrow, for John Roach, for Aaron Zomers, I'm Todd Allball. Whatever you're fighting for and believe in, don't give up. Keep banging your drum.
Banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in the Middle East this morning, where the leader of Hamas says his group is nearing a truce agreement with Israel